Things just don't happen out of nowhere. There's always a context. And we need to understand the context for May 13th for Our Lady of Fatima. Portugal is a very special country. Ever since the 1500s, or probably even earlier, they've had a devotion to Our Blessed Mother, and we see in different shrines and different churches throughout the country. Sometime early in their history, one of their kings decided to crown Mary as the Immaculate Conception. And ever since this moment, the kings and queens of Portugal stopped wearing their crowns, so serious they were about her being the queen. Interestingly enough, that he made a special promise and a vow to defend that truth, that she was conceived without original sin, even to the point of death, that the country would vow to do that. They did this on March 25th, which is the Feast of the Annunciation. And it's also amazing that many years before 1856, when it was declared a dogma, they already held this deep, deep in their hearts. And in the year prior to 1917, wasn't just a regular year. They saw that certain things were happening in the government and that the church was about to be suppressed. Things for us to consider. What did they do? What did Portugal do? They led a rosary crusade throughout the whole country where they encouraged the priests, the bishops encouraged the priests to start rosary groups, rosary confraternities, where people can join and make certain kind of personal promises to pray the rosary each and every day. And they did this, and they were asking for Our Lady's intercession intensely for that year. And the answer that they got is the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. Now, for this portion, I want to read from a book because I want to be as accurate as possible, and I want to give you the pure, unfiltered truth leading up to this amazing day. So please listen with your hearts and minds open. A little farther on, when they were nearing the spot where the chapel of the apparition stands today, beside the big holm oak, another flash of lightning, as vivid as the first two, made them stop. A few steps away before them on a bush, they saw a lady all dressed in white. White because she was the Immaculate Conception. She was more brilliant than the sun, and she radiated a light more clear and intense than a crystal glass filled with sparkling water, with rays of burning sun shining through it. How is it possible to describe in human words this supernatural vision? The children stopped for a few instants, surprised. What else could they do? Their first instinct was to withdraw in fear, as Lucia was to explain later that they felt fear, not really of Our Lady, but of the thunder and the flashes of lightning. Our Lady does not cause fear, but only surprise, peace, and joy. Lucia gives us an account of this great event insofar as it is possible to express it in human words. Listen closely. We were so close that we were within the circle of light that surrounded her, or that she radiated. Then Our Lady said to us, "Do not be afraid. I will not harm you." The heavenly messenger spoke to the children in a language they could understand. Overwhelmed by such an unusual event, it is natural that they felt ill at ease in the presence of such a beautiful but unknown person. Mary repeated the calming words that Jesus had spoke to the apostles on several occasions. Lucia continues, "It seemed to me that Our Lady, by telling us not to be afraid, wanted to relieve our fear of what we supposed was an approaching thunderstorm, because we were used to seeing lightning only when there was a thunderstorm. Encouraged by this invitation to enter into conversation, Lucia spoke. 'Where do you come from?' I asked her. 'I am from heaven,' she said. Lucia responded, 'And what do you want of me?' 'I have come to ask you to come here 6 months in a row, on the 13th day, at this same hour. Afterwards, I will tell you who I am and what I want. Later on, I will come here for a seventh time.' The seventh time was June 16, 1921, when she was to appear privately to Lucia, when Lucia was on her way to begin her studies to become a novice in religious community. The conversation continues. 'Will I also go to heaven?' 'Yes, you will.' 'And Jacinta?' 'Yes, she also.' 'And Francisco?' 'Yes, he too. But he must pray many rosaries.' 'Do you wish to offer yourself to God by bearing the sufferings he wills to send you as an act of reparation for the sins that offend him, and to humbly beg for the conversion of sinners?' Yes, we want to. Go then, you will have much to suffer, but the grace of God will be your comfort. Upon pronouncing these last words, the grace of God will be your comfort. She opened her hands for the first time, communicating to us a light so intense that as it streamed from her hands, its rays penetrated our hearts and the deepest recesses of our souls. It made us see ourselves in God. Who was that light? More clearly than we see ourselves in the best mirrors, then moved by an interior impulse communicated to us, we fell to our knees and repeated deep within our hearts, O most holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament. Our Lady did not have to teach them this prayer, for it arose from their inmost hearts through the action of the Holy Spirit. My friends, I suggest that you take this very prayer yourself and allow God's grace deep into your hearts as we prepare for this glorious feast and we continue in these 9 days to Fatima. I'll see you in the next video.